Welcome back to the Growth in Jams podcast. My name is Saul and I'll be your host here today. Today I'm joined by two fellow music lovers, two music enthusiasts, Arthur and Monica. We sit down to review J. Cole's highly anticipated album, The Offseason. We highlight some of the buildup leading to the project's release, song ratings, themes present within the album, track by track dissection with song snippets, expectations for his next album, The Fall Off, and albums we hope to review in the future. I hope you enjoy the show today. Here to dissect one of the biggest drops of this year in J. Cole's The Offseason. Initial thoughts, just off the bat, what are we thinking so far?
I'm very happy with it. I think it's better than his last couple albums, so I'm very satisfied.
I wouldn't say that I'm greatly satisfied. I mean, I was expecting more, but I'll take it. Those were my thoughts.
I was definitely expecting more songs, for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't think it'd only be the 12 songs, but...
Agreed. In comparison to KOD, it's a lot better than that one, for sure.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But it's nowhere near Born Sinner or 2014 Forest Hills Drive, so...
Right.
A little disappointed, but it was a good listen nonetheless.
I know we're going to get into it later, but I think the documentary definitely kind of hyped it up a little too much for me, but we'll get into that.
I agree, for sure. What are some crazy things that y'all noticed right away just going into it? That was kind of took you by surprise, if anything.
The production list.
And the features. The two most prominent features are like Lil Baby and 21 Savage, which is like kind of two newer school artists. I saw this album as him kind of embracing like a more modern sound. And you can see it a lot with the production as well. Like a lot more like hard hitting beats.
I agree.
I feel like it was a really good mix of what you would expect from a J. Cole album and like kind of a newer school sound that he's just kind of meshing the two together. That's why I was really like this album.
I agree. Before we jump into the initial dissection of each track, I think it's important to talk about the buildup a little bit. So in the like couple weeks leading up, as you mentioned, Monica, he dropped a documentary, which may have done it a gigantic disservice. It was a sick documentary. Yeah. I really liked it. I think it was really well done. And I think it was really cool for him to step back into the spotlight after not having been in it for a really long time. I mean, he had completely fallen off for a long time. But the documentary as well kind of highlights how he's just fell out of love with hip hop and got comfortable. Fell out of love with what he had been doing. And this was essentially the culmination of essentially 3 to 5 years of working on music, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, 21 Savage was in the documentary. He had a lot of cool people in there, talked about a lot of cool things. But what were some of y'all's takeaways from the documentary?
Okay, so I think that the documentary was super important to release at this point, right before the album, just because it like lets the fans know where he is in his career, because right now he's more focused on basketball, because like, you know, that's always been his dream ever since college, is to, you know, continue with basketball. So I think it was important for him to give his reasoning in the documentary. But at the same time, like he listed in there, like how he's been sitting on like all these features, he has all these songs in the vault. He said he would do like verses for other artists, and then he'd be like, oh, I'm going to save this for myself. He'd have like this 21 Savage feature that he was sitting on, you know. So it really hyped me up. I was really looking forward to just, I don't know, something to compete with Forest Hills Drive, I guess, and just completely blow up the charts. And I feel like this album, I don't think all of the songs are like super mainstream, I guess. Like, it's more meant for like real fans to appreciate. Like if you're a J. Cole fan and you know his flow, know that he always spits real verses and stuff about real life and like what's going on in his life, you can appreciate it. But if you're like me and Saul, big Travis Scott fans, he just raps about the fucking sky or girls, Kylie Jenner, Stormy, whatever. you know, maybe you won't really appreciate it. But yeah.
Yeah. For me, the main takeaway from the documentary, I just really liked how he was talking about how this happens to some of our favorite rappers. Like, they hit a point of success where like everything just kind of they have the money they need, they get too comfortable, they don't really have that drive that on their come up, they don't really have that anymore. So I'd like that he, because you don't really hear that talked about a lot by other rappers, and he kind of calls himself out a little bit, like, yeah, I just got comfortable, didn't really want to make music, or I did here and there, but he knew he was kind of at the top of the game, and he just didn't really have to work as hard anymore. Yeah. But I like that he kind of rebuilt that hunger that he had originally, despite his success.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question, which is kind of one that he talks about a lot throughout the album, is I don't know if he is at the top of the game, if he is on the throne, or if that is a self-proclaimed title. What do y'all think in terms of just where he stands and his credibility with that assessment of where he is in his career?
I think he kind of established himself pretty early. I would say like there was between him and Kendrick and probably Drake too, back in the early 2010s, the three of them kind of established themselves as the three kings in my eyes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's hard to say who has the throne. I think the throne has always been shared in hip hop. Like, there's never been one person on the throne, you know what I mean? But for sure, I would put him in that discussion in the past decade, for sure.
That's a good assessment.
I'd say he's in the kingdom, you know? He's he's one of them. I wouldn't say he's at the top of the throne, maybe if it was still, you know, a couple of years ago. I think that lyrically and I guess consistently, Drake is always going to be at the top. He's always going to be above a lot of rappers. But like, you also have to appreciate that J. Cole just has the best flow. Like, in the freestyle that we're going to talk about, like, there's no doubt about it that he's up there. But I think a little bit of it is self-proclaimed, but at the same time, it's like backed up with the songs that he drops and whatnot.
Two more things before we jump in. So the freestyles, that was, I think, a couple days before he released the album, if not the week before. Those were fire.
Incredible. So good.
It got me hyped.
Dude, I loved hearing him. Like, I used to bump that Still Tipping song.
Me too.
Like, when I was a kid. So hearing him rap over that, like, I would have never expected that combination to come together. And I loved it. I think he killed it. That made me a lot more hype for the album, actually.
The freestyle over Till Infinity 2. That gave me chills.
Yep.
And that's crazy because I had not seen him do a freestyle in I don't know how long. I feel like most people, once they reach that stature, they just stop freestyling.
Yeah, he didn't really have a need to do that, but I love that he did do it.
I think it just helps him prove to any haters or any people that say that, like, you know, he's mid, his album's going to be mid, whatever. Like, all he has to do is drop a freestyle and people know, like, okay.
Yep. And personally, I love watching freestyles. Like, I will spend hours just watching freestyles on YouTube. So I love that because I don't remember him having like a good one. I mean, I would have to go back and search, but I just like that there's something current for us to watch now for like a good freestyle on YouTube.
And that brings me to my last point. What do y'all think about this man not only playing basketball in the African League, but his performance in his first game?
Not very good, right?
Yeah, no.
I'm happy for him, like, you know, scratching this off his bucket list. I think that's really all it is at the end of the day. But yeah, I don't really expect him to ball out. I mean, he's playing against professionals, so it's going to be a difficult time for him.
He's also a lot older than I would say most basketball players right now.
That's true, too.
Does not look very athletic anymore.
No, which like is also why I don't think there'll be a tour for this, just because he's going to be so focused on training and trying to compete. So yeah, I'm also glad he's just living his dream, whatever, something he always wanted to do. But I think he definitely has a lot of work to do in that area in order to prove himself.
I think the question is, does he like play for 1 year or does he does he keep going? Like, that's
I don't know,
that's what'll be interesting to see.
Would the team even like dare drop J. Cole from their roster? Like, is
he's worth the publicity? Probably
they need those jersey sales. Something I thought about though is it seems like he has his hand in a lot of different pots at this point in time. Like, he's full-time father, he seems to have been making music the last, you know, 3 years pretty consistently, and but you know, behind closed doors, but also like getting ready to pursue basketball. That seems like a lot of different things to maybe where you would not be able to put your all into all of them at the same time. So I don't know if that translates to maybe why the music wasn't up to the standard that maybe we had set for him, or maybe why it didn't live up to the expectations of what he had promised going in, kind of something that I just thought about.
Yeah. And I feel like in the documentary, maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe you two know, but he was kind of alluding, he kept mentioning the fall off, like almost like that was going to be his next album, maybe. Like his next album will be like his grand finale. So I almost feel like maybe this album, The Off Season, is just kind of like a little teaser for his real finale, which will be maybe the fall off. I don't know. But I kept hearing him mention that like it was going to be something significant.
When I was reading up on different reviews, like Pitchfork and just like different articles, they were saying that like it's supposed to come in like the next album or like the next two albums, is that he's gonna retire. I don't think he'll like completely quit music just because he has all of Dreamville to take care of, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of features, but maybe that's when all of the good songs will come, like the ones that he has in his vault that he was talking about.
I think this is the right place to jump into it. There's nothing else to add at this point.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. So the first song on the album, 95 South. I had no idea what 95 South was. Had to look it up, but I found out that it is the highway that connects Queens, New York to North Carolina. So he basically talks about overarchingly in the album, commuting a lot and the dichotomy between him living in New York and growing up in North Carolina. And this seems to be more of an ode to how he grew up and the days spent traveling, what he learned as a result of that. But did anything stick out to y'all from this song, lyric-wise, maybe production-wise?
Lyric-wise, I got you. He has a bar in there. It's like, bullets be humming like Cuddy.
Bullets be humming like Cuddy, but one of your hoodies, spaghetti or splashing all over the driveway. Y'all talking all sideways. Shots popping off y'all laid down. Cops chalking off y'all legs now. Shit. God watching, hey, Yahweh. My niggas look up to the sky like we sending a Yahweh.
Now, does that make sense? No, but
sounds great though.
The bullets be humming like Cuddy got me right off the bat.
Yeah, that line stood out to me too. I think this was like the hardest song on the album, honestly. Like, it makes me just want to like break shit whenever I hear it. You know what I mean? Like, and then the Lil Jon sample was just like the cherry on top for me. I love that. Yeah. It was like, it was really a good intro because it just made me hype going into the rest of the songs.
Yeah. I felt that. I feel like he gave an ode to that early 2000s hip hop that I don't think anyone goes back to anymore. The still tipping on 4/4s, the Lil Jon.
It's like a very Southern, I mean, it's fitting with the South title, but like it was very Southern sound, which I wasn't really expecting, but it was cool.
One of the other bars that I thought was pretty sick, it says to blow your nose off.
Blow your nose off, cause zoom tight, and then resume flight as if it never happened. Shit we witnessed full of so much sickness, angels shedding tears in heaven, word to Eric Clapton.
Off this I didn't know, but Gesundheit, it means bless you in German. What a guy.
I knew it sounded familiar.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
But yeah, I think a lot of the overarching for the album as well kind of starts with this track. It's a lot of like braggadocio and self-proclaim, I am the best, which is fitting, right? You have to come in hard and you have to come in confident. But I feel like, I mean, we'll talk about it a little more in the other tracks, but it feels to be a little bit overkill for me at some points. It feels like that's a really big message in here, is that, yo, I grinded and it's paying off and I'm at the top. And it kind of translates into the next song where he goes off on it. But yeah, anything else to add on that one? Where would you rate the song on the bad to to good scale?
For me, I think there's other songs that are better, but I think it's up there. I think it's like top five, but
yeah, it's definitely in the middle. It's above average as far as this album goes, in my opinion.
Yeah,
agreed on that one. Oh, also, I did not notice this, but I was going through the lyrics and I thought it was cool that he made an ode to Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven at the end of the first verse. So it was cool to see how many different references he included in the song, because I feel like that's not really used anymore. Like, everyone just raps about the same things that are really service level, like basketball, money, cars, stuff like that. So it was cool to see him do different like references and odes to different people, I guess, at different points in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is cool. J. Cole's the type of guy that you can really dissect his lyrics for months if you wanted to. Like,
yeah.
I'll be looking into these lyrics probably for months to come.
100%. Yeah. On to the next song, Amari. What did y'all think about this one?
I like the intro. Just like the ba-da-ba at the beginning.
Yeah.
Hot take, this is like my favorite song on the album.
Really? That is a hot take.
Amari, I don't know, something about, I feel like it's the most modern hip-hop sounding track on the album. Like his flow, I really like how he incorporates like melody, and he does this on a few different songs. I never fall out with the bro. Hey, when your family turning a foe, we had a penthouse on the road, interior decorated with a hose. They're like a multiple truck getting chose. My niggas like any mini money mo. Scoop up a dime piece like we homeless, then we gon' send them back pigeon toe. Out of the concrete was a rose, and winners was cold. Had to go over and stand by the stove. We from the southeast, niggas know this where the ops creep real slow. Won't vote, but they mob deep with the post. I punch the time sheet, not no more. And now my side seat is a thong. But it's not just his same old rapping. It's like he's incorporating a melody that you kind of hear from like more modern songs and hip hop these days. So it's kind of like I mentioned at the beginning, how he's just kind of embracing the newer school sound a little bit more. And I think when it's all said and done, this song will have like one of the highest replay values for me. It'll probably be one that I continue listening to more than the others, because that's kind of been my struggle with J. Cole in the past. Like I always really like his albums when they come out, but if you look a year or two down the road, I'm not really listening to them anymore.
Yeah.
But I think this song will age well for me personally.
I agree with that. I thought the flow that he captured was unique for him for sure, and it displayed a range that he usually doesn't display. I also thought the beat was fire, and I looked it up and Timbaland has credits on it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Enough said.
I also like the outro a lot, and he kind of harmonizing them made it out must have meant something. It all just ties into the overall message of grinding for his work to pay off at this point in time. And yeah, it's weird to do the made it out of, usually people say the hood, or it's like, you know, East Atlanta or something, but for him it's like North Carolina. I think that's so random but so unique in that most people don't have that journey. I feel like a lot of rappers are from the same places.
Right.
This one for me was between an eh and a good. Yeah. But I agree, it has that replay value. But it just wasn't my personal favorite for sure.
I respect it, I guess.
Yeah, me too. I'd say it's more on the eh side for me, but I mean, you know, go off, whatever.
Y'all are wrong, but I mean, I respect it. I'm just kidding.
All right, so this next one.
Spiraling up, just like a rich nigga staircase. No fly zone, please stay the fuck out my airspace. Niggas say things behind backs that they wouldn't dare say. No, it's on sight when I see you, I'm working at Squarespace.
Yeah, top of the morning, I know that you thought I was dormant. Woke up early from shots that was swarming.
My Life featuring 21 Savage and Maury.
Fire.
This is first feature since 2013 on a J. Cole album.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
That is insane. Thoughts?
The production on this is just like something that stuck out to me like right off the bat, is that whoever produced this song went in, because it's just so good. Like, you know, I was really anticipating this album, right? And so for like big anticipated albums, I break out my like expensive headphones for him so I can really listen to the production. And I mean, even though this album did end up being on the okay side for me, I'm still glad that I listened to them on good quality headphones, because I can really appreciate the production on this, especially the song.
Yeah. unpopular opinion.
Oh, no.
This song, like, as much as I respect it, it just doesn't really do much for me.
What?
I don't know. I think it's just a little boring. I don't know what it is. Like, I listened to it a lot of times, and I don't really know how to explain it other than like it doesn't have a lot of replay value for me personally. One thing I did notice, I don't know if this happened to anybody else, but I thought the hook was Kanye West at first. Like when I first listened to this song, the first line of the hook, I'm like, oh shit, was that Kanye? Especially because on Spotify, the features weren't labeled on the track list for like the first night. So all the features were basically a surprise to me. So I was like really like listening so intently, trying to figure out who it was. And at first I thought it was Kanye, but it definitely wasn't, especially once he starts singing a little more. But yeah, it's an enjoyable song, just like not one that I love.
That's respectable. Respectable for sure. I kind of had the same thoughts. I thought it was like one of the better songs for sure, just based on his flow, the production for sure, and lyric choice.
Production was definitely good, yeah.
And I think the intro was fire as well. I thought, is it Maury or Morey? I don't know.
It's the first time I've heard of him.
Yeah, I thought he crushed the chorus. I thought it was really well sang.
But yeah, it was a good hook.
The replay value for me is not really there, but I respect that he's putting on these younger guys and giving back to the industry, because for a long time he was like really selfish with his platinum with no features title, right, and that badge. So I thought it was cool, but yeah, for me it was just it's a good song as well.
And another thing, one more thing, I just feel like it's not a good song for 21 Savage to be on. Like, I would want to hear him on something a little bit higher paced.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So that's my main complaint. Like, if 21 Savage is going to be on the album, I would have liked to hear him on a different beat, I think.
That's fair. I like that they've kind of formed this partnership, which is a very random one, like 21 and J. Cole, because he, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he executive produced 21 Savage's last album. Not too sure about that one, but I know he did play a pretty large role in that. And then he executive produced Young Thug's last album. So it's cool to see him expanding and giving back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they're all to very random people, because you would think he would be, I don't know, lashing onto people that I guess share the same sound as him or same message. I'm not really sure, but
yeah,
definitely cool to see him going outside the box.
Let me just give my take on this. So I guess it's my hot take. Arthur had his. And
I'll probably have a lot of them.
I just think the song's fire. Right off the bat, in his verse, you get Ja Morant, "I'm on my grizzly." First of all,
that was corny.
R.I.P. the Spurs. Ja Morant's fire. He's so good.
He is.
You know, he just eliminated the Spurs, including the refs. But I don't know. I like that line. You can think it's corny. I liked it. But then later on, after, he talks about the fall off, you know, like his last album or whatever. He says, "After the fall off, I promise I'm coming and selling out Wrigley's." So, I mean, maybe he is retiring soon. 21 Savage feature, I liked it a lot. Again, the production for me was good. So, yeah, I think it's up there for me. I think it's top three for me.
Sheesh.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's why this is good commentary, because
yeah,
we have different opinions.
Yeah, but yeah, with the way he's gassing up the fall off,
yeah, it's
not
really
the best
is
album. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm boycotting the rest of his music if it sucks.
Yeah, as you should at this point.
This next song for me, Applying Pressure.
Applying pressure, started my crime with crime festers, and now I'm showing like they ain't a second trimesters. That's why when niggas throw a shot or two online, I pay no mind to their benign gestures. Nigga, please, I got my mind.
It was pretty mid, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
this one's falls in the middle for me. Maybe we agree on this one.
Yeah,
it's decent.
He seems to clown on the rappers that are currently at the top of the game a lot. But yeah, it's weird that he's doing that and then having people like Lil Baby and 21 Savage on there, who kind of are the flaunting type with their jewelry and stuff like that.
Right.
It's just a little weird to me. But yeah, one of my least favorite songs, if not least favorite on the album for sure.
I think he was talking the most shit on this song, I think.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of demanding his respect. And I mean, the last like minute is just him talking. It's not even really music anymore, right? I think that was the song.
Yeah.
Where he's just kind of talking, like demanding his respect. I mean, he did have like a lot of hard hitting lines on this song. Basically, he just goes into how like most of the rappers we listen to are just telling a bunch of lies in their music. And he's one of the few who can like live up to his lines, which is kind of a flex.
That's fair.
But yeah, decent song.
I keep thinking of the fake deep label that he gets all the time. And this felt like that for me a little bit, because it was like, meh. Like, it's kind of overdone shitting on the current generation.
That's but true too.
You do you, man. But yeah, overall song was pretty mid.
Yeah,
I needed him to tell me more about real deep stuff, not the crapping on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
The next track, Punching the Clock. Mm-hmm. This was a direct reference to Dame Time, and it was cool because I did not hear that the first time around. But the intro is a interview sampled from when Damian Lillard dropped 61 points, and it was him talking about it. And then the outro is an interview from when he ended the Thunder and Paul George on that buzzer beater.
Oof.
Pretty cool stuff.
This song, I wanted it to be longer. I thought This was like a single verse, and it was one of the best. One of my favorite verses on the album.
Back on top, punching the clock, clutching sanity. I got more cribs than Habitat for Humanity. Shit profound, we propagating more profanity. Paid off collections for recollections of calamity. The shit pop off, I learned to duck under the canopy. Till it cool off, they murdered a nigga right in front of me. Told him to come off his chain
for. He went really hard for like that minute. And then the song kind of just ended. So I would have liked to have seen another verse on this song, personally. But I thought he went off on this song. I enjoyed this one more than I thought. It took a few listens, a few go-rounds, but this one kind of grew on me.
Yeah, me too. I like that line. I got more cribs than Habitat for Humanity. That's what sticks out for me on this one.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Like the, now that I'm rich, I feel nobody understanding me. All I can do is cut the mic on, holler at you. Can't let the fame scare me off from speaking candidly. I like that one.
Yeah.
I feel like the replay value on this one wasn't really there for me either, but I do like it. And yeah, it was a little too short for sure.
I mean, and as cool as like the Damian Lillard clips are, I thought they kind of dragged on a bit. Like,
yeah,
I would rather hear more rapping than so much. I mean, there's like almost as much talking as there is rapping in this song. So maybe take like a few of those lines instead of like a whole paragraph.
Yeah.
And this would have been better. But I think the beat and the flow made it worth it for me.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I feel like every song he just talks about putting in the time to get here. Talks a lot about his childhood. And then he's like, I'm the GOAT.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like this next one. Kind of. I like it. But yeah, 100 mil. What'd y'all think?
I like this one. He's really just flexing his status, but letting us know he's not done yet. We kind of talked about that. He kind of alludes to it in the documentary too, about how he's just been comfortable. But like one theme he's really alluding to is that he still has that hunger. So I thought that was cool. I mean, the song is talking about how much money he has, I'm pretty sure, 100 mil, and he's still on the grind. So he really doesn't have to be doing this. He's doing this because he wants to be the best and be considered one of the greatest. So I like the theme of the song for sure. And then there's one theme in the song that really stuck out to me about how he mentions that time is more important than money. Like regardless of all this money he has, you only have, everyone has the same amount of time. Some people even less than others, you know? So I like that he touched on that. Regardless of his success, he still only has a certain amount of time to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. So this song was cool. Kind of on the lower end replay value for me, but I definitely enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And then again, like going back to what you said about how time is money, he says in the documentary how he put a studio like in his house because he's so focused on his family right now, on top of like all his other things, you know, basketball and then making this album. And then, yeah, I mean, I like the song. The lyrics that also stuck out to me on this is, don't care if it's Michael B. Jordan that's calling my woman the fuck, she ain't never gonna pick up.
Yeah.
Which is a lie, because any woman would pick up for Michael B. Jordan.
Shit, I would pick up for Michael B. Jordan.
I mean, while this album is, you know, it's on the okay side, there's always some J. Cole lyrics in there that just stick out, man.
Agreed. I like the flow he caught on the chorus.
How come a nigga ain't into his prime? Still getting better after all this time. These niggas say that they killers, they lying. Only thing I see him killing is time. 100 million, I'm still on the grind. 100 million, I'm still on the grind. 100 million, I'm still on the grind.
It's like a little whiny, but I like it for some reason. And then this is the first of, I think, three total bass features. Bass, bass. I think it's
boss,
bass.
Yeah, boss.
There you go. Third time's the charm.
Yo, but Boss is a good rapper. I just want to note that.
Oh, he is. And
he's really good.
And he does not rap anywhere on this album. He's just like singing hooks, which is was disappointing to me. I would have liked to see him at least have one verse somewhere.
Yeah, that might be J. Cole saying, nah, man, this is my time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, he says in the freestyle, I think, how he says Boss is next. Like, Boss is next up after me. So I've always really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes hard.
Him and JID, I think, are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Next song. I really like this one. I don't know why, but I think it's one of the best on there. Pride is the Devil.
Yeah.
It's talking all about the role of pride in his own life and the lives of others. And I think it's one of the great demonstrations of his storytelling ability on here. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. And I think he does a great job of saying how it had a hold on him for a really long time. And it's one of the few demonstrations of his vulnerability on here, I would say.
Yeah, and then kind of going back to how he incorporates a lot of melody into this song. Terrified, paranoid, I put you over everything to fill the void. And when you're gone, will I have anything or will I be destroyed? Which is something he didn't typically do too much, and he does it really well on this song. And then the little baby entrance is like a truly a moment for me. Like, I love how they too much money to count. What's the amount? 10 of a bounce. I got a pair, nigga, to add it up. Then pay somebody to make sure whatever amount he say, I'm bagging up. Got racks on racks, I'm racking up. Stacking up. You reaching or acting up. Break it down, weigh it up, not bag it up. Make a five of mine, that's regular. Nigga, playing with us, that's negative. Go back to start, that's never. I'ma boss my closet never. Ain't no off days on my schedule. Long as I live, we live forever. Told my twin and shit get better. These niggas slip, let me out. I had to put that song on repeat when I first heard it because I love how he comes in. Like, J. Cole starts the verse and then Lil Baby comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and that's my favorite moment of the song for sure. And then he kills it. So definitely this song is one of my favorites on the album.
I agree.
Yeah, it's up there for me just because of the chorus. I don't know. Like you said, he doesn't really put melodies and choruses in his songs. And so I don't know. I just really like that about the song.
So this is a sample from Aminé's Can't Decide song. And I think J. Cole FaceTimed him. And it was like a gigantic moment for him to see him. That was crazy to me that he sampled his music because the song came out, I think, last year. And just wild to think about sampling someone that is pretty up and coming still, I would say.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Aminé like tweeted a screenshot of the picture and said, 15-year-old me was screaming on the inside, got a call from one of the greatest a few weeks back and couldn't be more hype. Pride is the devil and can't decide out now. I just thought that was cool. It's cute. I mean, yeah. I think it's really nice that he just went and FaceTimed him about it. Probably
that is cool.
To use the sample then.
And he's going to be getting a check from this song too. So
big check.
That's pretty dope.
I liked Lil Baby's reference to staying focused and not forgetting the bigger picture, specifically referencing his song from last year, The Bigger Picture.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool to fold that in there. Lil Baby's just really coming out of his shell, I would say. He's really demonstrating his ability to not just talk about what everyone talks about, but rap about pretty meaningful stuff and sound really good doing it.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Especially during the Black Lives Matter movement this past year, I feel like that really just helped him with his voice. And especially, I don't know if you guys saw his Grammy performance for The Bigger Picture. Fire. It was so good. You got to check that out because, again, it talks about like the protests and police brutality. And yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome.
I might be confusing it with the music video. But I do remember seeing something like that. Regardless, they're both really good.
Yeah.
Whether it's the music video or his performance. But yeah, I appreciate that he takes the time to advocate for stuff like that so deeply. Mm-hmm. Well, most of these new school rappers don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, talking the talk and walking the walk. Because I think he was one of the few out there actually in the protests with, you know, normal people like us. Just demonstrating that we're all like on the same plane of existence, right? And that these issues are human issues. They don't transcend you when you become famous type of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. This next song, I thought this was a cool song. Replay value. I don't know. A lot of J. Cole songs, right? They don't really have that replay value, but I thought this was a cool song talking about being a father to his son in America and discussing some of the fears he has as a result of how he grew up being a Black man in America. And I thought that was cool to talk about for sure from him.
Yeah. This song, I really respect the lyricism. I think his storytelling really gave me like Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City vibes.
Mm-hmm.
It even sounded kind of like the similar flow. Like you said, not a lot of replay value for me, but definitely this is a really good song to like dissect the lyrics and really dive into them. He mentions a fight that he had with like P. Diddy, which I really want to know more about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's very random. And then one thing that really pissed me off was the Black feature, because you really wouldn't. Black's one of my favorite artists.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know Black's on this song if it wasn't labeled, like, unless you're really listening closely. I would have liked to hear him have a bigger... I mean, it's cool that he had any part to do with this song, but kind of going back to, like, the Boss situation, these features that are kind of very insignificant, they don't really play a huge role in the song. So I would have liked to see Black have a bigger part to play in the song, but great storytelling song.
I think Black is like, he's just one of those super lyrical artists. And again, he's tells a story in his music. And so I think that it would have added to the replay value for this song if he had a bigger verse and was able to tell his truth in this.
Agreed. Yeah, he's just kind of in the background of like one of the hooks.
Yeah.
So that was kind of disappointing, because when I saw Black Labeled originally, I was really excited.
I'm going to include that little snippet of the chorus where all three of them, it's Black, J. Cole, and Boz harmonizing.
Soldiers, song, marching on, hoping to see home. If I die before I see your smile, just
and yeah. That was beautiful. Even though it was like really insignificant, thought it was good.
It did sound good. And then he put Diddy on the outro. Talking. So that was interesting. I don't know like where they stand now, but that's one situation where I wish he would have gone into a little bit more depth about what happened and where they stand now.
I was reading up on it a little bit, still a little bit confused, but apparently they were beefing after the VMAs, I think, in 2013. And there was some rumors that they had fought like at an after party or something like that. They cleared that up and said that they didn't like officially throw hands, but they were fighting over like the rights to Control and a couple other songs, I guess, which was, I don't know. I feel like I never heard about that, but yeah, also weird to hear Diddy like kind of praying on the outro. So it seems like maybe they've made amends, but overall weird to slide that little thing in there.
That's very weird. Like, why is P. Diddy out here fighting young rappers? Like,
yeah, he's like
that man
50.
Not grown. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's just rumors. I remember I saw something about how J. Cole was like defending Kendrick, which I have no clue if that's true or not. So I don't want to like feed the beast of the rumors, but it's just so weird. I just want to know what really happened.
Careful, Diddy will come after you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's fighting young people now, so.
I thought this song had a lot of really good lyrics in there. I don't think I'll include all the snippets, but one of them that I thought was fire was the sometimes I question whether this shit matters, putting substance into something in a world so used to instant gratification.
Ooh, that's deep.
Good.
That's really good. Because, I mean, think about how much time a rapper like him puts into like his wordplay, his punchlines, stuff like that. And most of them just kind of fly right past us when we're listening to him, you know? And especially with like the younger people, younger generation who doesn't care about lyrics as much anymore.
Yeah.
So that is pretty deep line that I hadn't really paid attention to until you said it.
Yeah, I was just going to say he's putting in all these hours, all this time, just for us to sit up here and be like, yeah, there's no replay value.
That's true.
Just for people to troll on him and say that it's mid.
Poor guy.
I mean, but it just goes to show that there's more to a song than just the lyrics, you know?
Yeah.
That's why artists like him have struggled in the past, because they might be like hella good lyricists, but can you make good music? Yeah. Obviously he can, but there's been a lot of rappers who are like incredible at freestyling that couldn't make a good song to save their lives. So you got to be well-rounded these days.
It's tough out there for rappers. This next song, the interlude, he dropped it like the week before the album came out. And I don't know, I wish he kind of just dropped all of it at the same time. Didn't really give any singles because I thought the song was just all right. I thought the beat was fire. The custom sample that was included by one of the producers, Tommy Parker, was really good. But overall, again, the replayability is not really there for me. But he talks about a lot of cool stuff, pain, trauma, death, religion. But yeah, it just wasn't all that great for me.
Hot take. I like this song.
I like this song too. The beat stood out to me, like Saul said. The beat goes really hard. I mean, this song was just kind of short and sweet. I think it was only one verse. And then the intro and outro, and then it's done, which is kind of a theme on this, on a lot of these songs. He kept them shorter. But I think it did a decent job at like setting the pace and expectations for the album, kind of being like one of the two singles released before the album dropped. So it's okay. I like it. Nothing amazing, but I liked it.
Yeah, I think this also hyped me up for the album because I really like this song. And then I listened to the whole album and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But again, like one of the lyrics that people were talking about was Christ went to heaven age 33 and so did
Christ went to heaven age 33 and so did Pimp C and so did Nipsey.
And that stuck out to me a lot. Mm. Yeah, I just thought his flow on the song was good, but I mean, that's just me.
I mean, I liked it all in all. I think it made me excited, so it did its job.
Yeah.
The beat was really good.
On the scale of eh to good, it's more on the good.
Yeah, same.
But for me, I had a lot of the songs on here. I was like, that was good, but like none of them, not none of them, one of them did. We're not there yet, but you know, none of them really until this point had been like, yo, this is incredible type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, Monica, maybe he's holding on to those for the fall off. Hopefully.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's just a little warm up.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is the warm up. I'm hoping he doesn't drop some 17 minutes, 3 points, 3 turnovers type of stats on the fall off.
That would be tragic, dude. Like a tragic ending to a phenomenal career.
But the next song on the album, The Climb Back, which originally came out in 2020 as a single. What are y'all's thoughts on this one, both now and when it came out a year ago?
It's one of my favorites. So
I think it's the longest song on the album, right? Like it,
yeah.
He really goes in on the song. I think the beat is definitely the most unique on the project, in my opinion. So the beat really stood out to me. I like how he switches up his flow a lot, so it doesn't get stale by the end of it. He's like really going in. So I like this one. I think it's just not as fresh in my mind since it's been out for a good minute. It was good when it came out and it still is, but it's just I don't really listen to it as much as I did when it came out.
I can agree with that sentiment. I really like the message behind the song a lot. It talks about critical growth, and I guess he had alluded to this in the song, but around the time that the song came out, he had released an essay of some sort where he kind of details critical moments in his life where he had to grow and elevate, and he refers to them as the climb, which I thought was pretty cool to talk about, just, you know, falling out of love with rap and then rediscovering that, as well as just hard periods in his career and his motivation to write music and make music. So message is there for me. But I also really liked it a year ago when it came out. I thought it was one of his better songs. I thought the sample and the outro was pretty good. I think I'm going to include that snippet, hopefully.
Everybody mentioned suicide prevention, and they even made a hotline to call up when there's tension, but I got a question, what about a fucking homicide? Need a number for my niggas to call whenever there's a urge to get triggers involved. Need a number for my niggas to call whenever there's a urge to get triggers involved.
I like how he shouts out Chief Keef, which was really random.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'd get excited when like newer school artists, I mean, Chief Keef's been around for a minute actually, but smaller artists, I guess, are shouted out. I don't know why.
He's the real king of rap.
The real GOAT. I mean, that the line is, address me as the GOAT, like they call Chief Keef Sosa. So
I did appreciate that too.
Random line I had to shout out.
I like the chorus in this song for me. I think the production and the chorus is what did it for me. I'd say it's probably top 3.
Everything come back around full circle. Why do lies sound pleasant but the truth hurtful? Everybody gotta cry once in a while, but how long will it take for you smile? This is that come back to life shit. My niggas pick me up and we gon' light the city up as if the sun had the night shit. And paint the town red for my nigga found dead too soon.
Yeah, just goes back to that point where I don't know, like singles, I have a hard time with them because the same thing happened on Astroworld with Butterfly Effect. Like that's probably the best song on the album, but because it was released as a single, I feel like you don't really think about it in that light as much when you're comparing it to the rest of the album. You're like, I've already heard this type of thing. But had it come out with the album, like The Climb Back, I think would be probably the best song on here.
Yeah, that's what I hate about single. I mean, I understand why they put them out to promote and kind of generate hype, but it just kind of sucks as like an album as a whole to like have those songs that you've already been hearing or been heard. Like it's just not as fresh. I always hate that about albums.
Yeah.
All right. On to song 11 on the album, Close. What'd y'all think about this one?
Close. Poor replay value for me, but
yeah,
it's a good storytelling song as well. And it kind of alludes to a theme that like a lot of people can probably relate to he's basically talking about how he has trust issues with someone that he used to be close to, who ended up losing their life, I think, by the end of the song. Mm-hmm. But it's just someone who he like grew apart from. They went on very different paths. This friend kind of went into the criminal life while J. Cole was, you know, succeeding in music and whatnot. So it sounds like he just has a lot of regret in regard to this specific relationship. So I liked the theme of the song. It was really cool to listen to, but I didn't think, like, musically, it didn't have a lot of value for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Monica?
I don't really listen to this song that much. Like, now that I've listened to the album a couple of times, like, I know which songs I like that I just, you know, go and click on or that I have added to, like, a playlist. And yeah, this was not really it for me. But I mean, I appreciate the message.
I agree. Something that I saw online is that he samples in this song MF Doom's 2003 Valerian Root instrumental. So he's paying homage to him who recently passed away. Rest in peace to one of the legends out there. Something else I took away from this was, you know, this whole song is about him, like, yeah, like you said, talking about regretting, wishing he could have done more and saved his friend, essentially.
Yeah.
And he still finds a way to talk about how he's the GOAT in this song. Like, it's like one line. And I was like, yo, this is way out of place. Like, it's like at the end, like he's like lamenting his friend, right? You're thinking like funeral eulogy type of thing. And he's like, but I'm the GOAT. So it doesn't matter.
That's funny.
And I didn't notice that until I listened like the fifth time today. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, this song was bad to for me in terms of the quality of the song.
Gone are the days we was close. Now when I see you, I look at you just like a ghost. A shell of your former self, so caught up with that dope. Two niggas singing two different notes, and you know I got a coast. Nothing but a dollar and some hope. Up in and wide, but damn, what hurts me the most? You was a good nigga, we knew each other's folks. Now you gotta ride around with the toast, and you keep that shit close. Cause niggas plotting on you since you chose.
But the message was cool. Storytelling was cool.
Yeah.
All right, on to the last one. It's my personal favorite.
Yeah.
Hunger on Hillside.
The money might fade, but respect don't. Still gonna be me when success gone. I don't speak the language of cowards. I walk through the flame like I'm Teflon. I sucked up the pain and I kept going. Whole world know my name, bitch, my rep strong. We sold out in less than an hour. These words I still sang like I'm slept on. I sin so I can't cast the next stone. Unless it's baguettes round my neck bone. Inside of my frame lies a power. You can't get this game from no TED talk. I wanna know if they understand me. I put it all on A, ain't no plan B. Hoping all this weight ain't gonna drown me. Foot around got gray hairs already.
Let y'all go first. Thoughts?
Fire.
It's a great outro. Yeah. It's a great finale.
The production on it, I think, is next to My Life for me. I think the production on it is probably the best or one of the best.
I really like the pacing because if you notice, the hook really like slows the song down. Mm-hmm. But then when he comes into his verse, he's just like going hard, like really fast paced. So I like how it's almost like a roller coaster pacing of this song. And then again, I've mentioned this a few times, but in his raps, he incorporates a lot of like melody, which is cool. I really like to see that. I mean, that's literally something that someone like Drake blew up doing, you know, like mixing it up. So I like that J. Cole's embracing that a little more. Overall, a good finale to the album.
I think the message was pretty hard hitting on this one. To start with, 95 South at the beginning, talking about, you know, the driving back and forth between New York and North Carolina. And then Hunger on Hillside, basically saying, you know, I need to go back to what got me here. And I'm still hungry type of thing. So he talks a lot about staying true to himself and remembering his roots in North Carolina, which is a huge theme within the album. And then again, the duality between North Carolina and New York, and both seeming to give rise to their own challenges externally and internally for him. Something else that I noticed that he talked about was staying true to himself, which would result in credibility in his words and would essentially go a long way for him in his career. And yeah, this is my favorite song on the album. The beat is absurd. I don't know what that noise is in the back. It's like a string ensemble type of thing, but that is fire. Another line that I thought was pretty sick too was he talked about, I sin so I can't cast the next stone, kind of essentially highlighting, you know, that he's not perfect. And so I thought that was great, despite him saying I'm the GOAT the whole album, to be like, yeah, but I'm still a fallible human being that makes mistakes and that he's still hungry, ready to work.
Yep.
A line I have is, I don't speak the language of cowards. I walk through the flame like I'm Teflon. I don't know. I just thought when you said that, fire.
That was a fire line. I did not know what Teflon was until I looked it up, but it is like a chemical.
Yeah.
But yeah, high quality outro.
Yeah, I was satisfied with it. I liked it.
This is kind of the only song that I go back to and play at this point, I would say. Like, I listen to the album on shuffle, but I'll play this song like 5 times for every time I play the other songs once.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, let's talk about our standouts. I think that's a good transition. Yeah. Like, what are your favorites when it's all said and done? Like, maybe top three?
Top three for me is My Life, Interlude, and Hunger on Hillside.
Interesting.
No Amari. Very
interesting. Very interesting. I mean, I think Amari needs a little bit more credit. What about you, Soul?
For me, Hunger on Hillside's got to be number one. And then Pride is the Devil, Soft 2-3. And the third one, I have a hard time between 95 South and My Life or Let Go of My Hand, honestly.
That's good. For me, I think I got to give number one to Pride is the Devil, probably. And then we'll go ahead and give number two to Amari.
This guy.
It's going to be number, a no for me, dog.
Number three is going, number three, we're going Hunger on Hillside. But this is subject to change, and we'll almost definitely, it's almost certain to change. So don't quote me on this, please.
All I know is it's not going to be close on there. Never.
No, that's not. If close is on your top three, then turn this off.
Overall, what would y'all rate the album? 1 to 10.
7.
Six and a half.
Give it a 6.85.
Yeah, I mean, I might even give it a 7.5. It's in that range. Like, compare it to KOD, compare it to For Your Eyes Only, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Those two albums are his two previous albums, and they're extremely forgetful. So from that perspective, that's what gives it a little boost, because at least he's went a little bit up from there, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah, 6.5 out of 7 for me.
Let's do a 7.235.
Nice. I like that number. I don't know, though. I can't get up to the 7 for me.
Yeah, that's fine. It's probably because you're not really appreciating Amari yet.
I'm not.
My thing is that, like, you know, J. Cole's known for not needing any features, but I think, like, at this point, I'm going to need some more features.
Yeah, I thought it would have more, honestly. So I was kind of disappointed at how little features there still were. Because I thought, I mean, he talks a lot in recent interviews and stuff about how his pride held him back from, like, associating with some of his peers in rap, because he just wanted to, like, be the greatest, and that's all he cared about. And he made it kind of seem like he was gonna give that up a little bit more and just, like, embrace the culture, embrace his peers, like, work with more people, connect with them. So I was hoping to see more features, but maybe the fall off, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, he can dream though alone. Like, I'm glad he had some features with Boss, but I mean, he has JID, who has, like, the one of the best flows, I think, in rap right now. Like, that dude can rap. And then, like, he also has Ari Lennox in his back pocket, who can, like, give another side to his music, because she's, like, super soft and, like, almost kind of jazzy with her sound. So, like, if he wanted to do something different, he could always bring her on. Like, I just think he works with so many artists to where at this point, there's no excuse to have a mid album.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like we missed out on a lot of bangers as a result of his pride, like, especially with big names. I really, at this point, thought him and Kendrick would have been releasing some straight heat together, but that was something that I was expecting coming into here, but maybe he's saving it for the fall off. I don't really know, but I think he needs to have a Kendrick feature, if not him and both of their songs type of thing together, where they just go back and forth. I really needed more from the features.
Especially because they were, at least at one point, they were really good friends, actually. So the fact that have they even ever made a song together?
Didn't they do, it was on SoundCloud forever.
The Black Friday stuff. Mm-hmm. They were on each other's beats from, I don't remember what songs they were.
Right.
They were fire, though. But
yeah.
I don't know, just it's insane to me. Like, even J. Cole and Drake at least have made music together, like a couple songs. So, I don't know. I think Kendrick's kind of MIA, or is it just me not paying attention?
He's
gone.
I think he's like working on stuff though, because like a couple months ago on Twitter, I saw that like he was filming a music video where he was like floating on the beach or something. So I mean, hopefully there's some stuff coming because I need some Kendrick.
Yeah. I need Kendrick to put out an album like this, an album that's better than his last couple albums.
Yeah. I don't think Kendrick's actually released music since Damn, because he had a feature, I think, last year or the year before. And I remember reading somewhere that he recorded that feature in like 2013 and it just came out. So I was like, what is this man better be cooking if we're waiting like years with zero music?
I mean, I was revisiting Control, his Control verse, like a couple weeks ago. God, that shit is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I want that version of him back.
Yeah. He's so my goat.
It was Damn, and then he had the whole Black Panther soundtrack.
Oh, right.
That's fair.
And then, I don't know, maybe he was working on Isaiah Rashad's music that's coming out, which was also, I was really happy about that, even though the song was okay, but glad to see some Isaiah Rashad.
Yeah. All of them are just so slow with dropping music, and I don't understand.
It's insane, dude. I feel like we're in a drought. We're in a musical drought.
We are. 2020, I think, forced artists to be like, I'm going to take a break. I'm not going to release an album. Yeah. But overall, did it live up to the hype for y'all?
No.
Not really. As satisfied as I am with a lot of the songs, I was definitely expecting better, or at least hoping for better. I didn't really know what to expect given his last couple albums, but I was hoping, based on the hype, based on the documentary, the freestyle, I was hoping that it would be a little bit better than this.
Agreed. And also really short when you think about taking the interlude and the climb back out. I think it's like maybe 32 minutes of new music. So it's been 3 years to release 32 minutes of music, and it's just that's kind of disappointing for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
He's focusing on making, was it 3 points? 3 points a game? 7 points?
Yeah.
3 points, 2 assists.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for y'all's expectations for the fall off if he ever does decide to release that?
I don't know. It depends on what single he puts out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that this was just like intentionally a little warm-up album, getting ready for the fall off. Like he purposely maybe left some features off, purposely made it a little shorter so that our expectations going into the fall off are a little lower maybe than what he's going to give us. So that's what I'm hoping, but ain't no telling.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I hope he intentionally did this so that he blows us away, but that may be wishful thinking at this point, especially if he's trying to make it actually like make it in basketball, but we'll see.
I mean, like everyone says that J. Cole's albums are mid. So I mean, like, wouldn't you want to put those haters to rest for once, you know?
Yep.
J. Cole fans are the worst though, if I'm being honest. I'm going to put that video that you sent me, Arthur, in the show notes.
Dude, maybe we could even play a clip of it because damn.
That had me crying.
Video, I watched it like 3 times. I just love that the guys start like crying while this whole thing is going on. But yeah, what I want to see from the fall off, a lot more features, hopefully. Yes. And like features that we really have been wanting from him for his whole career. Like a Kendrick feature would be insane if done right.
Yeah.
I would like to see Drake on it as a certified Drake stan. And
Black.
Yeah, like some of these younger guys like given a bigger role to play. That would be awesome. Like Monica said, some of his label mates, maybe a little bit more action in that regard.
I want some Earth Gang in there. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
I could appreciate that.
JID, for sure.
Yeah.
JID. Monica was right. Like, his voice and his flow is just so unique.
151 Rum, like, goes hard.
It goes super hard.
I think that's a great place to wrap this bad boy up. If there's anything else you'd like to add?
Catch me back on here when Certified Lover Boy drops.
Oh, yeah.
When will it drop? That's the question.
That's true. That's going to be an experience for me, though. I'll tell you that much.
Now, we've been waiting a long time on that one.
When was it supposed to drop? Like a couple months ago, right?
It was supposed to drop in January.
More than a couple months.
So it's really delayed here. But I feel like rappers do that on purpose these days.
Yeah.
Oh,
Travis has done that so many times.
Oh, yeah. We got some big albums coming up, though, that we can hopefully review in the future. I just saw that Don Toliver's official debut album is supposed to be releasing in June. That's going to be fire.
That guy's so consistent.
I think Lana Del Rey is gearing up to release new music. I don't know if y'all saw the snippets that Mike Dean was posting, but it was heavenly.
Really?
Like, her voice is something, man. It does something to me. I just start floating type of thing.
Just levitating. I used to love Lana. Like, yeah. I really love Lana, but like, nothing compares to Born to Die for me. Like, that album was just like her pinnacle. But I'll always listen to her new album. So hopefully it's decent at least.
Yeah. Certified lover boy. And hopefully we get Utopia one day.
One day. I'm waiting.
We'll review. Hopefully all those together. That'd be pretty solid.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
All right, fellas. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
Thanks for having me.
Arthur's going to go listen to Amari.
Yeah, I'm really going to go rethink Amari. Or maybe, I think I'm right. I think y'all need to like go turn it up a little bit more in the headphones.
I'm deleting it from my library.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also, follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.